Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
You know, the United States is not acting alone, to state the obvious. Our allies in Europe and around the world who have constantly been asking me, are we going to step up? We're not going to walk away, are we? How many, and some of you have been to these international meetings with me. They're very concerned. Had we failed to step up, Lord only knows what would happen to the cohesion in NATO.
If this is your argument, Joe Biden, that's fine. When will America step up and really support Ukraine? We've been pretty supportive. Me, I believe we should continue to be. And now $95 billion has been signed into law. Assistance for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, the southern border still goes without. Let us not deny that the anger is real. But let us talk about what's about to happen next. Tony Katz, Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That is the number. That's how you get to be a part of the show. We're talking about, and here is the full list of what's going to Ukraine. There's a $1 billion package going right now. RIM-7 and AIM-9 missiles for air defense. Stinger anti-aircraft missiles. Small arms. And additional rounds of small arms ammunition, including 50 caliber rounds to counter the unmanned aerial systems, which is to say drones, from Russia. Additional ammunition for high mobility artillery rocket systems. The 155 millimeter rounds, including the high explosive dual purpose improved convention munitions rounds. 105 millimeter artillery, 60 millimeter mortar rounds. Bradley infantry fighting vehicles. Mine resistant ambush protected vehicles, which are called MRAPs. Which is what you have to wonder, why is it the police departments across America end up getting these things? They need a mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicle. It's a lot of firepower. It's a lot of strength. The other side of it is they don't use it for the military anymore, right? It's out of date or whatever it is. Does it serve a purpose for us in other ways? And let that conversation happen. High-mobility, multi-purpose wheeled vehicles. And the list goes on. Night vision devices, demolition munitions for obstacle clearing, Claymore anti-personnel munitions. This is what they're getting. You understand that these things are going to be built in the United States. They're built by Americans. Americans will financially benefit from this $95 billion. The issue, of course, is still the southern border. The southern border, which got nothing. Joe Biden saying at the White House, we rose to the moment, we came together and we got it done. Now we need to move fast, and we are. I support the idea of being supportive of Ukraine, and I support the actual being supportive. But not at all in lieu of supporting the country first. And the idea that you could speak about we rose to the moment but don't say it about the southern border is as infuriating as anything. You rose to the moment for Ukraine and not for us? Well, supporting Ukraine is about us. Yes, and supporting us is about us as well. I will also tell you that I find it ugly as can be. To see the president of the United States wearing a pin of the American flag that also has a pin, the other flag being the flag of Ukraine. I never understood that. I have some of those pins, right? It's an American flag and an Israeli flag. I don't wear it. It's me. I find that awkward. I'm an American. I support Israel's existence. I'm a Zionist. I apologize for nothing. Israel has the right to exist, and Israel has the right to defend itself. But I'm an American, and I don't quite understand wearing the other flag. Well, Tony, it's solidarity. I'm sorry. No one gives a damn if I'm wearing a flag pin. They care about what I'm doing. In no way am I showing more solidarity for the things that I believe in than by doing this show day in and day out and actually saying the words, actually trying to move some level of action. Pins don't do that. But it just bothers me to no end. And again, I'm not interested in a posturing president. I support the aid. Always have. We've disagreed about this. I've been fine with that. I support the aid. But not at the expense of not supporting America, which is clearly what has happened here in Congress. And if people like Senator Fetterman, you know, I've supported this, I'm glad we got it done, this was important, you should be just speaking out just as much about an aid package for America for the southern border. So a lot of people are discussing this in regards to Ukraine only. But there's money here that's going to go to Taiwan and money here that's going to go to Israel. Now, I'm going to break down in a couple different ways what's going on in Israel, and I will also get into this ridiculous statement that, oh, there was a mass grave found in Gaza. Clearly, look what the Israelis did. They buried these Palestinians after killing them, and they were naked, and their hands were tied behind their back. That is not what happened at all. That's not what happened. What I find interesting, though, as we have this conversation and continues, is that it's bleeding into American politics. Let me give you two things. The first here is a post from Bill Melugin over at Fox News. Homeland Security investigations confirming foreign students in the U.S. on student visas can be deported, potentially deported, if they are suspended or violate their visa terms. It's a case-by-case basis. An immigration judge would decide if there was a violation of status and a student would have to fall below, quote, normal progress. Now, I don't know how a judge gets to make this call. Because if I were president and I'm taking a look at what's happening at Columbia and NYU, I am suspending all student visas and I'm sending everybody back home, including if I have to force people onto a plane, even if it's the cargo hold. That's how little rights a foreign student has in the United States of America. Go to class, have sex with American girls who really love an accent, smile, and don't bother me. I'm sorry, that deal is great. That's a world-class deal. Now you want to scream death to America, kill all the Jews, and start riots on college campuses? Any way I can deport you, I'm going to do it, no matter what it takes and no matter how much it hurts. As I often state, we have planes and parachutes. I don't want to hear anything else. This goes into a conversation about Title VI. And when you see these two things together, it really should stop you. Be like, wait a second. This is the Biden administration doing this? Miguel Cardona is the Secretary of Education. He was the Secretary of Education in Connecticut before being our Secretary of Education. And of course, he's terrible. This is the guy who doesn't believe parents should have a say. This is a guy who thinks boys can claim that they're girls and change it wherever they want to change and takes team spots on athletic teams, all the jazz. He's terrible. But yet when it comes to these potential Title VI violations, Cardona is concerned. Concerned about the protests at Columbia. Anti-Semitic hate on college campuses is unacceptable, says Cardona. I am deeply concerned by what is happening at Columbia University. In November of 2023, our Office for Civil Rights opened an investigation of Columbia involving Title VI. Title VI, we're talking about the Civil Rights Act of 1964, protecting persons from discrimination based on race or color or national origin. So here you have a college campus where you're singling out Jews, attacking Jews, keeping Jews from walking down the street. Never mind, there are people getting stabbed in the eye with flags and a host of other things happening. It's clear intimidation. It is clear that it's abusive. Every rational person knows this. That means anybody who is not a member of the squad. And even the Department of Education is saying, we're looking into this. Why? Why in the world are they looking into this? He writes, while we can't comment on pending investigations, every student deserves to feel a sense of safety and belonging at school. Hate, he says, has no place in our schools. All education leaders must stand definitively against hate, anti-Semitism, anti-Arab, and anti-Muslim sentiment. Now, take the anti-Arab and anti-Muslim sentiment and throw it away. That's not what's happening here. It's not what's happening. That's a lie. That's like this idea of, you know, good people on both sides. None of that other stuff is taking place. But why in the world is the Secretary of Education going down this road? And why is Homeland Security discussing student visas? It is, I believe, a twofold concept. Number one, let's look at it legally. There are clear violations here that has to get dealt with. Now, I know it's the political left. If they don't want to look at something, they don't look at something. The Supreme Court tells Joe Biden you can't pay off student loans, and Joe Biden says, and goes about doing it any which way he can. Doesn't make the country better, by the way. There are laws, and someone's going to notice that you're not paying attention. And enough of those Democrats who happen to be Jewish saying, guys, what's happening here? We'll get some people to engage some action. Now, even the non-Jewish Democrats, some of them will be like, guys, what's happening here? And it'll get Democrats to make a move. They have to be seen to some kind of level as policing themselves. They have to make the moves. But what else is moving this? What else is driving people on this? Why in the world would a party that is so in favor of Israel's destruction now be angry with people who are calling for Israel's destruction? And when I say a party, well, let me tell you, this aid package is going to hurt Biden. Sending money to Israel? You're supporting Netanyahu with the genocide of Palestinians. There's no genocide of Palestinians. Just stop being silly. Some of it is based on the legal, and some of it is based on the political. Pressure from different flanks and different parts, realities of the job and of the laws that are on the books, cause some of these things. But investigations and statements of possible deportations don't mean anything. Sure, maybe they'll find one or two people to deport. Sure, maybe they'll decide that a school's done something wrong and issue a small fine, and that'll be it. This right now is nothing more than bluster, these Title VI conversations, these student visa conversations. Nothing more than bluster meant to make it look like, yep, we're on top of the situation. Do you believe they're on top of the situation? Because every day, the situation seems to get worse. Every day, the situation is looking worse. Looking more desperate and looking like it's going to be more violent. So, I'm just noticing what you're noticing. Until something gets done, this is just tough talk from the administration, or really, this is just pacifying talk, and nothing's going to come from it. That's what I expect. I only hope to be wrong. I'm Tony Katz. The Dow is down 140. The NASDAQ is down 40. I was not the move I was expecting today. It's not that any one move on any one day is indicative of any one thing. Tony Katz today. I think it might have something to do with the 10-year treasury, which right now is at 4.655, which would mean the 30-year fixed. I use bank rate rates. Why don't we have somebody to sponsor this? I do it all the time. Just good Lord, people, let's get on this. National average for a 30-year fix is 7.23. And there is absolutely no movement. No movement at all on lowering interest rates. That's over. Absolutely over. And I'll add a little insult to injury, but it's not an insult to you and me. Oracle. We're talking about the mega software company. This massive group. Oracle founder Larry Ellison announcing Nashville, Tennessee will be the new corporate headquarters. As a guy who lives in Indianapolis, Indiana, devastated. Because we would have been a much better spot for a corporate headquarters of Oracle. I think he turns out, Larry Ellison, really likes a honky-tonk. Who knew? But that move is a big, big move. And it was funny. He said he was doing this interview with the former Senate Majority Leader, Bill Frist. He was in Nashville and for this conference. And he's doing this interview. And he said, that they were moving this huge campus to Nashville and, quote, ultimately be our world headquarters. And almost immediately said, I shouldn't have said that. Like, he realized that was not something that was meant to be public, giving this information on the future of the company. But that's the way it is. The moves to places like this is a really important conversation about how impossible it is to live in other places. So when we talk about the 30-year fixed being 7.5, right, 7.23, 7.5, do I hear 8%? You might think of it where you live. If you're in the Midwest, you see a much different housing valuation. And yes, 8% can make a big difference on a $250,000, $300,000 house. But you're talking about houses, depending on the areas of California, where the 1,500 square feet goes for $1.3 million. How in the world do you do this? How house poor can someone be? Employees feel this and realize this and say, you know what? I'm working. Maybe I'd like to enjoy my money. Maybe it's not enough to work. You have to have enjoyment. And so Larry Ellison, knowing that a business has to thrive, that means the people have got to be happy and feel there's a value to their work. And very often people feel a value to the work, not so much with what they're getting paid, but with what they're able to do with the time. If you were a place that only had a 4-day work week, people might say that is great. And they're very happy to work a 10-hour day as long as they can have that one day a week to handle all of their things. That might be worth it to them. Living in a place, okay, I work really hard, but look at all the cool things that you get to do. I work hard, but I'm actually able to keep it. Look at this giant, basically like pay raise going down because we're basing here instead of California. There's a good story in that. And I do connect it to what we're seeing on the rates. That some of these moves are about the insanity of states and some of these moves are about getting ready for the insanity of the country. CNBC now wants to talk about why keeping the rates higher for longer may not be such a bad thing. Well, that's in some weird theory. And these rates historically are not the highest we've seen. They're still historically lower but having a real effect. And if someone's going to have to pay an 8% mortgage, better the house be $400,000 than $1.2 million. This is Tony Katz Today. Johnson is going to speak at Columbia University. And none of this is about what's happening at Columbia. This is a story about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Tony Katz. Tony Katz Today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That's how you get to be a part of the show. You have the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who has called on the president of Columbia to resign. And we should be clear that the Columbia president, President Shafiq, S-H-A-F-I-K, is a child. She is weak. She is an embarrassment. She has a gross interpretation of what it is that's happening on her campus. Remember when Congresswoman Elise Stefanik asked her point blank, she didn't categorize the protests as anti-Jewish when, well, of course they were. They were other things as well, but clearly they were. But they said some anti-Jewish things, but they weren't anti-Jewish protests. That's silly. But what do you expect from a woman who thinks that terrorism is a type of protest?
So it's not, you'll always have individuals who will have extreme views. But what's really troubling in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists. Not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front. So it's not.
Now, one could argue that she's just explaining how other people feel. It seems she's saying that we should have some sympathy for these people and really understand what it is they're saying. Terrorism is not speech. It's not. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Yeah, but a terrorist is a terrorist. Remember, no one in Hamas is fighting for something. There's no moment when they're done. Unless, of course, they get to the worldwide caliphate, which means that you and your children live as slaves. There are many reasons to get rid of the president of Colombia. One should ask how she got the job to begin with, but that answer becomes self-apparent. She fit the mold, just like Claudine Gay at Harvard fit the mold. This is exactly what they wanted and exactly what they've been working for, working towards. And this shows exactly how decent they are and how good they are and how loving they are, etc. She proved herself to be incompetent in that hearing. Now you've got Speaker Johnson calling for her resignation. This President Shafiq is shown to be a very weak, inept leader. They cannot even guarantee the safety of Jewish students. They are expected to run for their lives and stay home from class. It's maddening. So the speaker is going. Now, he's supposed to speak to some students, and I don't know the group. Maybe it's a specific Jewish group. Maybe it's a different group. I don't know. But I will say, there's a great question of whether or not he's going to be able to speak at all. This is Columbia, like NYU, like a host of others. They don't believe in free speech, and they don't care who it is. They engage in violent acts to stop the conversations from taking place. So I don't know if he's going to be able to speak. But none of what we're discussing is about Mike Johnson. It's about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Why is that the case? Mike Johnson going to Columbia, I think, is a good move. I think it's a smart move. He's going to stand up against bigotry. He's going to say very clearly in the belly of the beast, we don't do this. This is not who we are. These people are wrong, and we should say so. It is a corollary to his position on allowing the vote on Ukraine aid, Taiwan aid, and Israel aid. And yes, the southern border, which did not get passed. We wanted him to hold up on those things, just pass aid on the southern border, get that through and signed first, then we could do the other things. Ranking them in their importance. He decided we have to let it all happen. Because he truly believes that we have an imperative in a directive in supporting Ukraine. It has to get done. And these people are going to get destroyed without us. They're just going to get destroyed, annihilated. That's what's going to happen. And I've got experts who will tell me exactly the same thing. Marjorie Taylor Greene, representative from Georgia, incensed, already wanted to put forward the motion to vacate, has now gotten some backup from Congressman Thomas Massey, who has been a crazy-ass disappointment, from Representative Paul Gosar. They may actually move forward on this. Mike Johnson's line, his theory was, this has to happen. We have to be a nation that supports these people. As much as I want this, I can't seem to get this done, but I can get that thing done, which is support of Ukraine pushing back against Russia. It speaks volumes to the world. This is who we are. This is our policy. This is the deterrence conversation. We're going to actually do it. And because I'm a believer in speaking out, because I'm a believer in doing things that others may find unpopular because I know it's right, I'm going to go into the belly of the beast and say to these students that they're wrong. Right? That's what's happening here. I am not questioning the sincerity of Mike Johnson, of the speaker. I am saying that these two things do have a connective tissue. For Marjorie Taylor Greene, this creates a much larger problem. Because in the corner of Speaker Mike Johnson is President Trump.
Hello.
Hey, sir, we were just talking about you. We were just talking about you. Anything going on with you?
I do the best eclipses. My eclipses are far better, far safer. Make eclipses great again.
Well, the eclipse was a couple of weeks ago, but yes, it was very nice. I don't know if that was you who specifically did it.
Hello.
All right, maybe it was. Maybe it was. Who am I to say? Who am I to argue? Trump is in Mike Johnson's corner. And in a radio interview, he said, look, we have a majority of one, okay? It's not like he can go and do whatever he wants to do. I think he's a very good person. You know, he stood very strongly with me on NATO. I think he's trying very hard. So now, you take a look at the move from Mike Johnson, and it's given the seal of approval, right? I'm assuming that's how a seal is given. Like that, he's stabbing a from Donald Trump. Donald Trump has the bona fides to say, look at my support for Israel. And certainly that comes from moving the embassy. Never mind the Abraham Accords. And here's Mike Johnson speaking in the belly of the beast at Columbia. That makes life very tough for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Moving now. Moving on a motion to vacate just became far more difficult. And Mike Johnson now gets to have a full week of specific Republicans and a media writ large saying this guy is actually engaged in leadership. Now, you and I might look at that and say, oh, good Lord, playing to that base is never what you want to do. I get that. Very, very much. But in terms of pressure and keeping Johnson right where he is, that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to deal with. That's what she's going to deal with. If you tell me I'm opposed to this legislation because the border comes first, that's where I'm at, I get it. People will remind you that 80% of the money replenishes U.S. stockpiles as well. And we could also take care of the border, can't we? Turns out no. So she's got a problem. Do I think that this will keep her from making a move on the speaker? No, actually, I don't. I think that she might have to say to herself in a political calculus, I went down a road. I got to go all the way down the road. I got to Thelma and Louise this mother. Hold my hand. We're going over the cliff. But she never got to meet Brad Pitt, so she's kind of upset by it. I don't have any reason to think that she won't go forward. But there's no doubt that the calculation is being rethought. Meanwhile, Johnson at Columbia, let's see if they even let him speak. Let's see if he's safe. Let's see if they throw anything at him. Let's see if they are the kind of people who want to engage in an exchange. Let other people speak. There was a whole statement from the student protesters that they're going to keep people from harassing others. I think the weird part is the colleges are negotiating with the students as opposed to just throwing their asses out. This is the part. This is the part that I think gets people nuts. For Marjorie Taylor Greene, she thought she had Trump in the pocket. It turns out not so much. Because the first rule of Trumpism is that Trump wins. And the second rule of Trumpism is that a deal can always be made as long as it adheres to the first rule of Trumpism. Trump backing Johnson creates a big problem for the Marjorie Taylor Greene set. I just don't know if she can afford to stop. An object in motion stays in motion till acted on by another force. I think that the force of Trump backing Johnson might not be enough. We'll see what happens to Johnson at Columbia. We'll see what happens to Marjorie Taylor Greene in the House. I'm Tony Katz. Did you see the sign of the cross thing that Biden did? I'm not Catholic, so I can make assumptions about the level of outrage, but I don't know if I feel it maybe the way Catholics do. Tony Katz today. Joe Biden, of course, never met an abortion he didn't love. I'm told he's Catholic. I'm told that he's devout. Never met an abortion he didn't love. Okay. Hey. I don't know how you square the circle with the Lord, but that ain't none of my concern. Me, there's not, what am I about to say to that? I would never let someone tell me, well, you're not really Jewish because you have bacon. The only thing my people ever got wrong. Bacon's delicious. This is a far different story. He's at an event in Florida, he's in Tampa. And it's a campaign event. And everywhere he is where he can do a campaigning, he's talking about abortion 24/7. And so this is the story. This woman is speaking, and this woman is talking about Roe v. Wade. And as she is speaking,
and then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president, and so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks.
As she says, Ron DeSantis wanted to run for president. President Biden is next to him and talks about going from 15 weeks to 6 weeks, talking about an abortion ban. Joe Biden does the sign of the cross. I think he was reacting to the idea of Ron DeSantis, which is a pretty disgusting thing to do. Oh, God forbid, Ron DeSantis. God help us. It's like Hugo Chavez back in the day being at the UN after George Bush spoke and saying, I smell sulfur. This is clearly where the devil has been. I got to assume that's pretty disgusting. Outsider looking in, it's pretty disgusting. But for a lot of people, and this discussion about abortion, and here is Catholic Joe Biden doing the sign of the cross while talking about abortion in general, has got some people pretty sickened. I'm curious as to the level of fallout here. Am I putting too much, it's not emphasis and it's not pressure, am I putting too much stock in today's Catholic that this is beyond despicable? They're never going to look at him again. Now, I'm saying that knowing you do not have to remind me of all the issues of Jews just because I'm Jewish. You know, and that's just it. I'm saying that I don't know if it connects in the same way or if it connects on the same length. I have no idea. No clue. And I'm curious. I'm curious if things like this have an effect on an electorate, Catholic or otherwise. There are people who are saying that he should be excommunicated right now. Someone call the Pope. Get this done. Religion used to move us. But when you've replaced your religion with politics, does religion even matter anymore? Now, I'm not saying to you, I think I know the answer for you, but to the electorate as a whole. So when Biden does something like this, which could be seen as just a sacrilege or just despicable, does it move people to say, I'm not going to support that? Does that happen still? And on this subject, I am most curious. And I can only assume that it would make someone say, oh, that's gross. I have no way of knowing what the level of deep connection would be. So I am curious indeed. Let me know. Tony at TonyKatz.com on X or Instagram, Tony Katz. Interesting maneuver by the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. Putting an end to those non-competes. I've got that story coming up. This is Tony Katz Today.